Welcome to the C3 Church Podcast. Stay tuned for this week's message.
Well, tonight I'm going to talk for about 25 minutes and then maybe a little less. And then we're going to pray for people who are struggling with any medical conditions and who are needing a miracle in their life at any level. I find that this particular flow, this particular gift, if you like, of the healing power of God is always somewhat more relaxed and slower moving, calmer and quieter than other things such as a prophecy or preaching. But the healing power of God to me, for my world anyway, the way that I would have experienced that, is actually best suited to a relaxed environment and one where people are not feeling stress. Because I think that the Holy Spirit comes to relax people so that they can actually receive healing. I don't think that you can open up your heart for this power of God, this impartation, with a lot of stress going on. And I think it's important to allow yourselves to relax in the presence of God and understand that He brings healing and forgiveness freely, not because you're trying to make it happen. In fact, it's better if you don't try to do anything when God is doing His work. He put Adam to sleep, and look what happened then. Amen. So when we rest, God works. But sometimes when we're working, God's resting. And so, and I come to these sorts of moments with a mixture of emotions. There's a part of me that just wants to pull back from even doing this. I'm not even sure why. But I feel incredibly large responsibility on these moments. And people often say to me, oh, you should do that every week. You should do this all the time. And I probably should. Probably be good. But the approach to it is, I guess, like a pilot landing an A380. There's always a sense of, this is important for some people. This is a matter of life and death for some people. And we've just had communion, and so it becomes a really opportune moment to talk about the table of the Lord. And we don't do communion often, because once upon a time we used to. We used to do it every week. But I felt like it had become too casual, and all of us did actually, and that we needed to not just have it as part of our worship service where we hurried through and said a little comment about the body and the blood of Jesus, and that was it. So we thought to treat it with the level of respect and sacredness that is more deserving of that memory, we thought we'd isolate some services throughout the year like this one and really give it due reverence and focus so that we can come to the table of the Lord with a full heart of faith and a full sense of focus about what happened there. So that table that we have just partaken of, the table of the Lord, is something that David talks about in Psalm 23. And he says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. One of the greatest enemies for every one of us is sickness. And that sickness that people are challenged with travels through a wide variety of areas in our lives. It's not just the flu or a cancer or things like that, but all kinds of illness, mental illness, depressions and discouragements, emotional illnesses of wounds and hurts, spiritual illnesses of deadness on the inside of us, no motivation, wounds in relationships, all these kinds of things. You need to know that God is a restorer. He's a healer of all these areas. And we find regularly, all the time, people being healed in our church services. When we come and we start worshiping, one of the things that I really don't ever want to do is just be singing songs in church. And listening to songs that are sung in church, sometimes it just seems that's all they are in danger of becoming. It's really important that we don't have a church that's impotent, that has no power, that has no impartation happening. And while we worship, people get healed very often in this church. Sometimes people will cry every service for 6 months. In fact, I've had people come to me and say, I have to leave this church. I said, why? And they said, every time I'm here, I cry. I just start weeping and I can't stop. And I said, you're being healed. Give it some time. And eventually it'll stop and you'll be laughing. And there are things that God does in worship that won't be done in any other environment. And I believe that even tonight, I believe really keenly that even people watching on the internet are going to be healed. I'm joining with you and believing with you. There, if you're watching on this television program, if you're watching on the internet, I have no doubt that what is happening here can travel right there to you, and healing can happen in your world as well. So if you have neighbors or friends or people in the house who need to come and be in front of that computer screen, get a hold of them, because over the next 20 minutes, there is a power from heaven that is filling this building to bring the healing, curative power of God, the delivering power of God into people's worlds. God has prepared a table for us in the presence of things that threaten our well-being, enemies. And that table is something we just ate from, the body and the blood of Jesus. Paul said to the Corinthian church, there are some who are sick, there are some who are weak, and there are some who have even died amongst you because you didn't properly understand the table of the Lord. You didn't properly understand what communion was. And the thing is, hardly anybody understood why Jesus was dying when he died. All of that became subsequent revelation. People understood what had happened afterwards when the Holy Spirit revealed it to them. Paul took it the deepest when he talked about how we have been crucified with Christ. But Peter understood that our sins and our sicknesses had been taken to the cross with Jesus. Suddenly Isaiah 53, the prophecy of that grand old prophet, came alive. He poured out his soul to death. He bore our sicknesses, took away our pains. So God is a healer. And I want to talk about three areas of God here tonight. Number one, his nature. Number two, his ability. And number three, his intention. So his nature is that he is a healer. His ability is that he can heal you. And number three, his intention is that he will heal you. Let me read a letter from one of our church members that I only heard about this morning. He talked to me. His name's Bill. Sent me this email this afternoon. He said, in January 2006, I was diagnosed with two forms of thyroid cancer. I underwent a thyroidectomy and follow-on treatment called a radioiodine ablation. I got an all clear at the end of the treatment. At my annual checkup in early 2009, my blood tests and scans came back with a marker that showed I had a reoccurrence somewhere in my body, but they couldn't find it. I received this news on the first day of the Presence Conference in 2009. At the miracle service, you called me up on the stage and prayed for my healing. Since then, I have had a completely clean bill of health. I have had regular checkups with my specialist, and the cancer has never reappeared. Amen. Thank you, Lord. It's important when you've got a sickness or an illness that you understand that this table has been prepared by God for us for healing as much as for forgiveness. Forgiveness has come to us, but that is one of the reasons why forgiveness has come to us. Not only to get rid of our sin, but to get rid of the consequences. And part of the consequences of sin in humanity is disease and illness. If sin wasn't here, neither would sickness be here. And one of the most important things to understand is that God has freely forgiven you. One of the problems with us receiving healing is that it's similar to forgiveness. And some of us feel unworthy of receiving forgiveness. we feel like we should suffer some more. We should feel some pain. We should feel some shame. We should carry some guilt. We should try and work to atone for the sins we have committed. But I want you to know there is nothing you can do. You can't feel bad enough to atone for your sin. You cannot go through enough pain to bring healing to your life. There's nothing you can do in your works to earn the forgiveness of God. Nothing. We fall far too short of that. We needed a Savior. We needed somebody else to do it for us. And somebody was willing. The most wonderful person in the universe. The son any father would find it impossible to not be proud of. A son whom the father just was totally delighted in, and he sent him to be crucified for you as the Passover lamb, as the sacrifice for our sin. So Jesus has on that table prepared a table for us, and the only rightful response we should have is to freely receive it. That's the only true honoring of that sacrifice that you and I can execute. To say, thank you for dying for me. I receive it. And as you freely receive it, forgiveness, and accept that there is no shame anymore, there is no guilt about your sins, that you can relax. There's no stress anymore about carrying a guilt, and there's no more greater stress than a person can have in their life than guilty conscience. But you've been cleansed from a guilty conscience. By the sprinkled blood of Jesus. Your hearts are set free by that same precious blood. There is no other blood that's flowed in the veins of any human being in all the history of the world like the blood of Jesus. Because nobody else was born of God. God, by His Spirit, with Mary, produced Jesus Christ, the God-man. And Jesus has never gone back to just being exclusively God. He is a man. God became what He had created. He became a man. And when He rose from the dead, they saw Him ascend. It's not like He suddenly morphed back into being God Almighty alone. He is that, but He's also a man. And today there's a man in heaven. A man sitting on the throne at the right hand of the throne of God. A man who is paid away into the presence of God for you and I, so that we can achieve what something that Adam could never have had. Adam was made a citizen of earth as a created being. You and I, through redemption from what Adam had committed, his sin, we have become citizens of an eternal place called heaven. We are now seated at the right hand of the throne of God, not just garden keepers in Eden. So God has, through redemption, achieved far greater things than ever could have in the original creation. And so you've got to be happy here tonight that your worst day could become your best day because of the redeeming power of God in heaven through the work of the cross. Amen. Come on, give the Lord a clap offering. Number one point, God is a healer. The reason this is so big is that I wanted it to be so loud. You know when you get an email and somebody press the caps lock and the thing's screaming at you and you think, boy, they're upset. So you got to go back and resize the font so you don't look so angry. Well, this isn't anger. This is importance. I want to imprint on your head a screen in your mind that God is a healer. It is His nature to heal. God's nature is not to make sick. His nature is not to kill. His nature is to make alive. Everything that Jesus did was an exact representation of the nature of God. It's His will to bring healing into people's world. I've heard Christians talk about God's will to bring sickness into people's lives. If that was the case, then you should not go to the doctor to get yourself out of the will of God. If you're sick and it's the will of God, Then don't, whatever you do, get yourself out of the will of God, because apparently that's his will. That would say that the entire medical profession, all the nurses, all the doctors, all the ambulance people in the whole world are in rebellion against the will of God. How ridiculous is that? It's very easy to see the nature of God just in your body. He has instituted healing in your body. Most doctors would not claim that they can heal. They can assist the healing processes that already exist. They can put a cast around a broken bone and hold it in place so the healing properties of your body can be activated and you get healed. If you get a cut, they can stitch it up, but actually the healing power is inside your body. It's exactly the same in the entire human community. There are people who have a healing heart. They become doctors and nurses, some of the most magnificent people on earth, working so hard to help heal humanity. But there is also a supernatural healing that is available from the cross, where Jesus has paid the price, and the bridge between that event and your illness is a bridge of faith. Now, it is difficult. It is almost more difficult to get faith for healing than anything else because you feel it. It's so close to you. It's underneath your nose. It's right here. It's you feel bad when you're sick. And so to overwhelm that feeling with a feeling of faith and reaching out to God can be a challenge. But I'm telling you that if you can do it for forgiveness, you can do it for healing. And I know that here tonight, if you can freely receive, you'll also freely give. One of the reasons healing is not freely given and doesn't flow freely in the church and flow freely on the streets of Sydney is because so few people freely are able to receive it. It's the free gift of God. It's the free gift of grace, and we feel like we've got to earn it. And therefore, sometimes I have people trying to make other people earn something that is free. You got to have faith. You got to be get rid of that hidden sin. You got to get do this and do that. And if they didn't get healed, it's explained by an absence of other works. I've seen good people get sick and bad people get healed. It's a mystery. You can't lock God up in a formula, friends. He just won't do it. He'll jump out of that box every time. But I know this, you will certainly improve your chances of healing if you'll take a hold of the Word of God and build your faith. All through Scripture, you'll find that the book, the Bible, is a healing book. It has healing properties in those words. In way down in Proverbs 4, verse 20, it says, verse 22, his words are life to those that find them and health to all their flesh. Psalm 107, verse 20 says, he sent his word and he healed them. The word is a healing power without any shadow of a doubt. And when that word comes into your life, so does forgiveness and healing. In Luke 5, verse 17, it says, when he saw their faith, he said to him, man, your sins are forgiven you. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, say, who is this who speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? When Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answered and said to them, why are you reasoning in your hearts? Which is it easier to say, your sins are forgiven you, or rise up and walk? The two are the same. They're combined. What's it easier to say? The word of God came to the man, your sins are forgiven, rise up and walk. Same thing. Freedom from sin means freedom from sickness. And that's going to travel into your world right here tonight. God has said, I am the Lord who heals you. Exodus 15, verse 26. I am the Lord who heals you. Not I was the Lord who heals you, or not I'm going to be the Lord who heals you, but I am the Lord who heals you. God heals you right here in this moment. Not tomorrow, not yesterday, but right here, right now, God is here as a healer. As soon as I start talking that, I can feel the mighty power of God in this room. And like I said, I find it a nervy experience. Like sometimes I want to back off from it. Sometimes I want to jump right into it. And you will find that as you submit yourself to the great river of healing, great river of the power of God, it'll come into you. And one of the first things it does in anybody's life is relaxes them. I find regularly when I come into the presence of God, I want to go to sleep. I feel like my brain is so tired. It's just like years and years of working. It says, give me a year off, would you? You know, that just wants to, and that presence is so relaxing. No day spa in the world could do it for you. Like there's no pedicure, no manicure. And even for you girls, it'd be similar. You know that the great power of God is going to touch you here tonight and bring healing in you. There's somebody here with pains in your back, lower back. Healing is coming to you. It could be to do with your kidneys. Power of God is going to touch you. Gentleman here last night, he told me he came into this service, had a problem in his knee, could hardly walk. I said a word of knowledge just like that, and he said, man, I got up, had a go with it, and I was walking. I was starting to walk as soon as I got out of the service. God brings healing through all kinds of ways. I found it, the most common way in this church is by just what I said then. A word from the stage as people are worshiping and people write me letters saying, I got healed in that service. And it's always here. That healing power is always present for people to reach out and take a hold of. Not only to get it for yourself, but to carry it into other people's worlds. Exodus 23, verse 25, I will take sickness away from the midst of you. And Psalm 103, verse 3, he forgives all my sins and heals all my diseases. That's the awesome thing, that Jesus takes away your sin as well as your sickness through the work of the cross, through the table, the blood and the body that we just drank and ate. That is the source of bringing healing into people's lives. It began way back in the Old Testament, and Jesus refers to it in John 3, verse 14, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. What's he talking about? Well, Moses put a snake on a stick and held it up in the wilderness. Must have been about 30, 40, 50 feet high. Because 3 million people could look and they could see this thing. And all they had to do was look at it and they'd be healed. Snakes had come out of the wilderness, out of the desert, and started a plague of them and bitten all the Israelites. And they didn't know what to do. So they were dying. People were dying everywhere. And God said to Moses, put a snake on a stick and make them look at it. Jesus refers to that. He says, just like Moses lifted up the snake on a pole, so I'm going to be lifted up. And anybody who believes in me, so he translates looking at and believing as the same thing. So to believe in Jesus is to look at him. And as you look at him and you see all your sickness, everything the snake has done is killed and crucified in his body on that cross, you are set free from it in Jesus' name. That's the table of the Lord. Number two, first one, it's God's nature to heal. Number two, God can heal. Jeremiah 32, verse 26. Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? Everybody say that. Is there anything too hard for me? Well, I'm going to ask you, is there anything too hard for God? All of us would believe that, but not everybody has believed that in history. There was a man who had a trouble with his teenager. He was getting into all sorts of trouble. He was getting into all sorts of trouble all the time. And he came to God. He says, is there anything you can do for us? And Jesus was shocked because most people can believe that God can. He said, can I do anything? Can you believe? Because anything's possible to a person who can believe. So once we get over the idea that God can do it, and whatever situation you're thinking about, switch your faith on and say, God can do it. Just start doing that right here, right now, tonight. God can do it. This was a circumstance that Jeremiah was buying some land when the Chaldeans had overtaken the entire nation of Israel. God said, buy some land. He said, why? The land's been taken over. It's been occupied by a foreign nation. God says, is anything too hard for me? I'll chase them out of here.
and you'll get your land back. But I want you to take a step of faith and buy the land as a sign that I am going to actually chase the Chaldeans out in 70 years' time. And you'll come back and you'll be able to claim your land. So he heals 10 lepers in Luke 7 in verse 14. He heals a blind man in John 9, 7. He heals a woman with a paralyzed bent over back in Luke 13. He heals a man with a withered arm in Matthew 12. Everywhere he went, he keeps healing. And in my mind, for Jesus, healing's not a difficult issue. Not hard at all. Not even a big issue. Just simple. It's not like, oh, really? And you see in the movies, the guys go, oh, like this. Never like that for Jesus. Just like, yeah, be healed. Be healed. It's that easy. Nobody has to try and summon a great force or power or anything like that. The whole healing anointing is easy. It's not difficult for God to heal the sick. Not difficult for him to raise the dead. Not difficult for him to cast out demons. Easy. It's like finger stuff. Stuff he does with his little finger. Don't have to put a lot of effort into it. It's just boom. Easy. You got to understand that for God to deliver you and set you free. It's not like a big issue, hard thing. It's not like a Harry Potter. Everybody's got to strain a lot and wave magic wands around and say difficult things. That doesn't work anyway. This really does work. God's not abnormal. He does things quite naturally, but supernaturally. Okay, the last one. Number three, I want to get to praying for people here tonight. God will heal. Every time people came to him and said, would you please heal me? He said, yes. Never said no. Even when his enemies came, Jairus, the synagogue official, who's plotting against him, comes up and says, oh, my little girl's dying at home. Can you come here? Sure, I'll come. Could have said, you rascal. It's okay when your daughter's not dying, right? Now you come down here and you're in trouble. Oh, I don't know about that. You go back. I'll see. I'll think about it. He didn't do that. He says, yeah, I'll come. Sure. Syrophoenician woman from another nation pushing through the crowd, not even meant to be around these people. Will you heal me? Yeah, no problem. Lepers, not meant to be mixing in amongst the community. Considered deeply unclean, infectious people, contagious. Can you heal? Sure, be healed. Not one person does he turn away, ever. It's his will to bring healing. It's his intention to heal sickness, to take it out of your life. He loves you. Never intended you to have any illness in your body at all. Never intended you to die at all. Always intended you to have eternal life. But now he has provided a table in the presence of your enemies. What are you going to look at, your enemies or the table? Fix your focus on Jesus here tonight. He is no respecter of persons. What he did for that leper, when the leper said, you can heal me if you're willing, he said, I am willing, be healed. Acts 10:34 says he's no respecter of persons. What he did for that leper, he will do for you. What he's done for anybody in the world, he will do for you. It's not like one person is more special to him than another. You're as special to him as anybody else in the whole world is. All who came to him, he touched them and brought them healing. Let's all stand up. And if you're saying tonight, I want healing, I want God to touch me, I need it, and I believe it can happen for me tonight, I'd like you to come and stand down the front. Our pastors will be here. We're going to pray together for you and believe God to touch your life in Jesus' name. And then before we finish this meeting tonight, I'm going to pray for everybody in this room to become a healing force in the community. During this week, you're going to lay your hands on sick people and they will be healed in Jesus' name.
Thanks for listening to the C3 Church podcast. Visit us online at myc3church.net. Join us next time for more great teaching.